Welcome to the Riverside Church podcast. We hope today's message encourages you and strengthens your walk with God. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to go ahead and get straight into the word. I think I've done enough talking there. So let's just get into the word of God. And if you don't mind standing to your feet, we like to honor the word of God by standing. If you've been around Riverside long enough, and how awesome is that we have a new church home? God worked a miracle. That was a miracle God gave us. You don't hear that too often, but God gave us a miracle, and we're just so, so grateful, so thankful, and we're anticipating even greater things, expecting greater things along with y'all, and we're just so thankful that he gave us a new home. So we're grateful for that. And so I want to talk to you this morning about your greatest ministry, moms. Your greatest ministry. And I'm going to open up with some scriptures that we normally use when we are dedicating our babies to the Lord. So you'll probably hear them and recognize these scriptures. And I want you to ponder this one thought as I'm reading the scriptures. What does it mean to give your kids to the Lord? What does it mean to give your kids to the Lord? And the first scripture I'm going to open up with is out of Deuteronomy, if you have your Bibles. If not, it should be on the screens. Yes, it is. There we go. And it's out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 4 through 9. And this is a speech that Moses was giving to the generation of Israelites that were about to go in and take the promised land. And so Moses, through the Spirit of God, is giving instruction from God to the children of this generation that had been wandering the desert for 40 years. They were in the wilderness, okay? And he's about to give them one instruction. He gave them many, many instructions. But this one instruction that he gives them before they go into the promised land and take it is what he says here. And he says this, and it applies to us today as well. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord, he is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. He tells them this, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And then the next scripture I'm going to read, there's three scriptures, take a little while, but we're going to get through it, and it's all going to tie together in the end, is Proverbs 22 and 6. A very familiar portion of scripture that most of us know, and it's also a promise from God. So I want moms especially, mamas, to hear this. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. You can clap for that. You can clap for that one. That's a promise from God. And then the next one, 1 Samuel 1, 10 through 11. If you're not familiar with this, is the story of Hannah. And Hannah was a lady who was barren. She could not have children, wanted children so desperately, had such a strong desire to have a child. And in this scripture right here, she's in the temple. We're gonna call it the church, okay? She's at the temple at that time. And she's in there boldly praying and crying out to God in the temple. And as she's praying and crying so fervently in her desperation, it was so desperate that even people in the temple said, this woman is drunk. She's drunk off of something, but it ain't God. But she was drunk in the Spirit of God. As she was seeking the face of the Lord, she was fervently praying her heart's desire. So I want you to hear this, and I love this so much. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly, and she made a vow. She made a vow to God. She said this, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant. Everyone say servant. Servant's misery. And remember me and not forget your servant. Everyone say servant again. But give her a son. Then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will be used on his head. And Hannah's story, as we see this her praying passionately to God. God heard her prayers. God answered her prayers. God gave her a son, and she named him Samuel. And Hannah did exactly what she promised to God. And this is where we get baby dedications from. She gave him back to the Lord all for all the days of his life. She gave him to serve as a servant in the house of the Lord. Amen. So let's bow our heads and pray. Everyone say this real quick, though. Generational. 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 Father God, we come to you with open hearts and open hands, Lord, not only to worship you, our Creator God, maker of heaven and earth, King of kings and Lord of lords, but Lord, we come to you with open hearts and open hands, Lord, to receive, Lord, your word this morning, that, Lord, you would speak and minister, you encourage and help us, Lord, this morning as you talk to us. Father, use me, anoint this message, Lord, and have your perfect way in Jesus, mighty, mighty name. And everyone say amen. 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 You can be seated. Thank you, Lord. When I first became a mama, that's when I first really felt the responsibility that I needed to get my life right. I didn't care when I was on my own doing my own thing, but when I became a mama, I felt responsible for this soul all of a sudden. I felt responsible for this precious soul who was my firstborn, Haley. And I felt the weight of thinking, I've got to get myself right because her soul, her life, her salvation depends on it. And so I felt really strongly in my heart this morning that I wanted to share. As I was preparing for this message, as I was praying, that I want to share a few nuggets of maybe some things that I might have gotten right. And I say that very humbly because as my children know, I failed many times as a mom. How many of you know you're going to fail as a mom? There's things, it's a learning experience for all of us when we become mamas. And so, but any little nugget that I can share that I might have gotten something right as far as training up my children, that's what I really felt strongly that I needed to share with you this morning. So all of us know that we're not perfect. Our children know we're not perfect. Sometimes our children need to see us fail. Sometimes they need to see us fall. Because you know why? When we fall, they realize when we fall and we fall on the dependence of God in those moments and we learn how to ask forgiveness. We say, I'm sorry, and we work through any problems that we may have. That's what builds stronger families, you know? How many of you have been through some things in your families and you've had to confront some things in your family? And you know what? When you do that with God in the picture, you just become stronger and better and wiser. And so that creates that stronger family. So sometimes when it happens, it happens. But our job as a mom is to train them in the fear of the Lord and God's word and his promise, to train them up in the way that they should go. When they're old, they will not depart. It is a promise from God that we can depend on. So we're responsible as moms to create this culture in our home. And so I decided early on when I became a mom that I wanted to create a culture where God was going to be the center of it all. And so your family and your children is the greatest ministry that you can have. And the church, I want to explain this, the word ministry, because when a lot of times when you think of the word ministry or you hear ministry, the church world, the modern church world today has minimized the word ministry to a platform, to a stage, to a pulpit, to a microphone. It has minimized the word ministry when the word ministry really means servant. Everyone say servant again. There's a reason I'm having you repeat this. It sticks in your head. So the word ministry really means servant. And the actual definition of the word ministry is the sense of being when you're led by God, the sense of being duty-bound to work under God's authority as his loyal servant. That's what ministry means. Has anyone ever heard it that way before? So our greatest ministry, moms, is our home. The word mini is in ministry, which means small, minute, which means selflessness to me. So how many of you know as moms that it's to be a mom, it's a very selfless act. you know, and to be a mom, you have to serve your children. You have to serve your family. You have to serve your home. And so we have the greatest ministry that we could possibly have by serving our family, serving our children, and serving our home. How many of you agree with that? Say amen. And not only that, so moms, you are in ministry. You may not have a microphone. You may not have a pulpit. You don't have to be the spotlight or on the stage. Sometimes, actually, it's a lot dirtier looking than that. Sometimes it's changing that dirty diaper. Sometimes it's cleaning up that spit up that's spilt everywhere. Sometimes it's trying to clean up a house. But you are doing the work of the Lord because He has gifted you with the greatest gift there is, and that is children. And children are a heritage of the Lord. Amen. The word amen, if you agree with it, just shout amen. We don't care. We like to hear it. Y'all can back me up. I need a little bit of that. If you agree with it, just say, hey, amen. Amen. We got a little Pentecostal in here. So also, moms are also, we are called to be the gatekeepers of our homes, which means that we guard our homes. That means we allow what comes in, we allow what goes out. It's up to us. We can make that decision. We are spiritual guards that God keeps, that God uses to protect our families and our homes. So we are allowed to set the standard inside of our home. We are our children's, think about this, we are our children's first teachers, our children's first nurses, our children's first caregivers, our children's first protectors, our children's first providers. We are all of that. We set the standard for our home. And you don't need to be a megaphone with your words sometimes, but with your life. Your life will speak a greater message. Because those babies, since they're little bitty, they are watching every move that you make. And so your life will be the greatest example that there is. So a little bit about our own self, our own lives, because that's the only story I have is my own family. So we have four children, and our children are all named Haley, Caleb, Allison, and Joshua are our children's names. And names are important. Names have meaning, you know. So we always kind of looked into the names that we wanted to name our children. And as soon as we heard the names for each of them, it's just like you instantly know. How many of you have ever become a new mom and you're like, I just don't know. We can't decide on a name. And then all of a sudden, boom, you hear a name and you're like, that's the name. That's the name that I want. So names have meaning. And so we always prayed about our children's names and the meaning of their names. And I remember the first time that I heard the name Caleb, and I heard it for the first time. I was already an adult. I never met anyone by that name. And I said, I love that name. That will be my first son. If God gives me a son, that is going to be his name. I loved it. And Caleb means faithful. Caleb means loyal. And that's exactly what he is. And then I heard the story in the Bible for the first time about Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb and Joshua, if you don't know the story in the Bible, they 10 spies were sent to check out the promised land, all right? And so Caleb and Joshua were two of those 10 spies. 8 of the spies looked at the promised land, and all they could see were the giants in the land, and they were fearful, and they were scared, and they thought, we can't take this land. We can't take the promised land. There's giants in the land. But Caleb and Joshua had a strong, bold, courageous faith that they didn't even see the giants in the land. But you know what they saw? They saw what it was. They saw these huge grapes. They saw the fruit of the land in the promised land. The land that the Bible says was going to flow with milk and with honey. And so these two spies, they had the faith to see and believe that they could take on that land, and they didn't see the giants. And so when I heard that story in the Bible, I said, that if God ever gives me two boys, that's their names, Caleb and Joshua. And Joshua means God is deliverance. And so there's a meaning to the name. And funny story, funny thing, a lot of you that know us well, you might already know this, but God is so crazy. God is so good. God, if you don't know us just yet, so we have a lot of Caleb and Joshua's, put it that way, okay? So my son's Caleb, and my other son's Joshua, and then my oldest daughter and my, well, both my daughters, married men named Caleb and Joshua. And so, it gets better. Not even just Caleb and Joshua, but the first one is named Caleb Joshua Slavic. And then Allie's husband is named Joshua Caleb Field. I told you it gets better. So we have all of these Caleb and Joshuas. And, you know, I don't know. My husband told me later, he says, you know, I prayed years ago that God would give me Caleb and Joshuas to build his church. So either God loves me or God really, 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 and I think it's that one, really, really loves my husband. Because we are full of Caleb and Joshuas. And so I just want to show you that there is power in the words that we speak. There is power, even over our children. So when I was in my mid-30s, thought I was done with having children, all my kids were in school. Come to find out, here I am pregnant. And I was pregnant with who I named Joshua. At the time, I didn't know that it was a boy, but when I found out that he was a boy, of course, I already had his name picked out. And my mom told me, she says, well, don't you remember? She says, you always would tell people when you were growing up, when they would ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? You always said the same thing. I want to be a mommy. I want 4 kids, 2 boys and 2 girls. And God brought it back to my memory at that time that I said that all the time as a child. And it actually came to pass. And so there is power in the words that we speak, even as children. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. James 3:10 says, out of the same mouth can proceed blessing and cursing. Blessing and cursing out of the same mouth. So our words hold power. The words that we speak over our children and into their lives while they're under our care, those words hold power, how we speak to them. So moms, even in our most frustrating of times and overwhelming of times when you're taking care of the children, when they're acting up and they're not listening, we have to learn to ask God to help us raise our children. The Holy Spirit, he says, ask him anything and that he will teach you. And so I learned this as a young mom, that I didn't have to do it on my own. And I was pretty young. I was 21, and I got saved at that age, too. And I said, God, I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know how to do it. I don't even know how to raise my child living for you. But you know what? The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. All you have to do is ask. And he wants to partner with us parents. He wants to help us teach us how to train our children. And the beautiful part about this is that it's never, ever too late to start. Never too late. If you're jumping into this thing called living for God later in life, it's never too late to start. Your children will witness. They'll witness a change in you. And it might take time, but you be prayerful and you keep doing what God tells you to do. The Holy Spirit will direct your footsteps. Proverbs 12:25, anxious thoughts weigh a man down, or anxiety in the heart of man can cause depression. Anxiety in the heart of man can cause depression, but a good word makes it glad. So even though your thoughts may be anxious or frustrated, your words can dismantle the plan of the enemy over your life and over your children's lives. People think that you have to feel it to say it, but the power of the tongue is not in the feeling, it's in the speaking. Did you get that? The power of it is in the speaking. You don't always have to go by what you feel, but there's so much power in the spoken word that comes out of your mouth. Deuteronomy 28 says this, and this is something that I speak over my children all the time. When my children get out of the car, I've done it since they were little, and this is one of the things I might have gotten right. before they would get out of the car, I always would say a prayer over my children. And one of the things that I love to say was this out of Deuteronomy 28. And I say, they are the head and not the tail. They are above and not beneath. They are blessed going in. They are blessed going out. My children are covered by the blood of Jesus. My children will walk the hallways of this school and be a light and a witness. My children have favor with God and man. My children have favor with teachers, staff, administration, coaches, and other students. Everything that they do, everything that they put their heart, hand, and head to will prosper and be blessed by you, God. And so we got to learn to speak the right words over our children, whether we're praying or whether we're just answering, responding back to them. Watch the words that we say. Be careful at what we say and what we're speaking into and over their lives, because words can change your world. Words can change your world. Creating a culture of praying over your children and for your children. God will help you. God will teach you. He will show you. Being spirit-led has been probably the most powerful things that I've been able to do for my children when I've been able to pray for them. And I'll tell you why. But surrendering to God and partnering with Him on raising your children will help you tremendously be the best mom that you can possibly be. And so every child has different personalities. Every child has different giftings. If you have multiple children, you understand what I'm talking about. Each and every one of them is so different. And God will highlight for you moms things about your children in their lives, even when they're little. Even when they're little babies, He will highlight and show you things. For me personally, when I would have my prayer time at home, dedication time to God, my devotion time to God. Even when it was just me and Haley, when I started it, I'd have her in my lap and I'd turn on the worship music and I would start worshiping the Lord. And then I would just start praying and praying to God and praying in the Spirit. And praying in the Spirit is so powerful because you're interceding for your children for things that you don't even know what you're saying. Someone asked, I think it was Christine Kane, the question about having the Holy Spirit. Like, why do you think we have to have the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues? And I loved her answer. She says, I'm not saying you have to have the Holy Spirit, but I have to have the Holy Spirit just to go into Walmart. Like, I can't go anywhere without the Holy Spirit guiding me and helping me and directing me. He's not only our counselor, he's not only our teacher, but he's also our helper. He's called the helper, he's called the comforter. Anything you need, he's there in the moment when you call on him. Amen. And so during my devotion times with Haley, I would always have a anointing bottle of oil with me. And so I'd have my devotion time and I'd worship and I'd pray. And a lot of times God would have me to get the anointing oil and I would anoint her throat right here. I would put it right here and I would say, God, use her voice for your glory in worship to however you want that to be, whatever that looks like, your will be done. Father, anoint God, her mouth and everything that comes out of her now. Then I would anoint her. And God showed me when I was praying for her when she was little, He said, and this is what I was talking about, God will highlight things to you. And God said that I'm going to give her a voice of healing so that when she speaks and when she sings worship to me, that there will be a peace that will come into the room and that He was going to use her that way. The funny thing is, I didn't even know Haley could sing or even play an instrument until she was 14, and she had to almost forcefully step behind a keyboard. We lost our worship leader and we says, hey, we don't have anyone else. You're gonna have to jump back here. And she's like, we're like, you took piano for a year and a half. You got this. And she's like, I have no idea. But there was an anointing on her to play. And she started playing by ear, started singing. And God is using her in that exact same way that He showed me He was gonna do it. And then for Allison, when I would pray over Allison, I would anoint her. I'd get my anointing oil. I did it with all the kids. I'm giving you their stories this morning. But Allison, I would do the same thing, but I would just anoint her voice and pray that God would use it. And God told me when she was 3 years old, when I was anointing her and praying over her, God told me that I will give her a voice of deliverance, so that when she sings, when she speaks, that chains will be broken, that there will be an anointing, there will be a breaker anointing over her that will cause those things, yokes and bondage, to fall off of people. And one other thing, this kind of sounds silly, but God will show you other ways to pray for your kids that will protect them. And God would have me, he never had me do this with any of my other kids, but with Allison, God would have me pray against the spirit of worldliness over her. Right. Didn't have to pray over any of my other kids. I was like, what, God? Are you serious? And he says, pray against the spirit of worldliness over her, because she's going to be an influencer. She's going to be able to influence her world, and the world would love to use that. The world would love to use the gifts and the talents that she has to influence the world. And so I started praying that over her, not understanding what it all meant, but the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit will teach you how to pray for your children. So I prayed that over her. And I prayed that protection over her. And I know when I first came to God, there was a lot of altars that I had built up in my life that I had to break and I had to tear down myself. There were a lot of generational curses over my personal life that I had to break so that my children would not have to deal with the same things. So when I came to God and I surrendered to the Lord, and he delivered me from so much pride. Pride I didn't even know I had. Pride was a big one. And other things too. He delivered me from the addiction of alcoholism. And he broke that over my life, so my children haven't had to deal with that anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm so thankful for that. But we've got to teach them at a young age how to call on the name of the Lord Jesus. The Word of God says he is a very present help in times of trouble. And he is just that. He is there at the mention of his name. I'm going to share a story that's going to prove that for you. But I would tell my kids, Mama's not always going to be here, but Jesus will always be here. Teach your children how to call on the name of Jesus. And so for Haley, something that took place, and like I said, I taught her that growing up. And Haley went to college here at Victoria College, and in her second year of college, she was 19 years old. A man tried to abduct her from the college campus as she left the library. And when that man was trying to take her, she was fighting him off. He had parked over behind her car, and she had gotten in her car really quickly. She saw him watching her, jumped in the car with her backpack still on. She said, because Mom, I saw him watching. I knew something wasn't right. And he had ran right away and opened her door and grabbed her. And he tried to pull her out, and she fought with all of her might. I didn't tell you this part, but Haley was already leading worship at 19 at our church. And at that moment, she had actually lost her voice 4 months before that. Lost her voice, completely lost her voice. I was driving her back and forth to Houston to the voice clinic. And she had her vocal cords, she had messed up. She had a condition on her vocal cords. And all she could do if she did talk was just whisper, not even like that loud, just whisper, barely. She could barely. And they said it's just going to take time for it to heal, and if it doesn't heal, she'll have to have surgery. So she was going through this trial in her life when this happened. And so when the man grabbed her and was trying to pull her out of the car, she said, Mom, I looked in his eyes in that moment, and I just saw something. I knew it wasn't him. It was demonic. I knew it wasn't him. I saw it in his eyes. And she said, all I could think of to do was call on the name of Jesus. And she said, so I said, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus. And her voice came back loud and strong that day. And when she said, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus, she said it was like something grabbed him, picked him up, and threw him on the car next to her. And she ran and got away. But I taught her that mom is not always going to be there, but Jesus will be there at the mention of his name. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Faithful God, faithful God. So teach your children how to call on the name of Jesus. There's so much power in that name. There's protection in that name. There's healing in that name. So, Allison, got a story on her. Remember the prayer against worldliness? I found out later why. When she was in junior high, she was well-liked. People loved her. She was just had it going on at a young age. In junior high, she was doing really good, straight-A student, one of the whatever, I can't remember what they call it on the volleyball team, but that person, that main person, and libero, something like that. And she was doing great with athletics, with her grades, doing so good. And then all of a sudden, I noticed at home, this super outgoing child all of a sudden was not so super outgoing. I noticed she was isolating herself, going to her room. She seemed sad, and she had always been a very bubbly personality, very outgoing, just a joy to be around. And then all of a sudden, you know, that she was going through that. But she was dealing with some things that she didn't share with me, but God had already revealed to me. And come to find out, she was being bullied really bad at school by a group of girls. And long story short, I always told God, I'll never homeschool my kids. That's not for me. I want them in the schools. I want them to be a light, a witness. But God had me pull her out of school to homeschool her. And honestly, that turned out to be the best thing for her. And so what seemed like a horrible thing that we had to do, I learned this, that sometimes for your children, that rejection might be God's protection. Rejection might be their protection, as hard as it is for them to go through. But you know what, I only saw her. She could have got bitter, she could have got mad. She even told me, she said, Mama, I'm just gonna pray for those girls. I'm gonna pray for those girls. And God restored some of those relationships years later. She never even went back to school. She was homeschooled the rest of the time. But I saw her draw closer to God instead of going away from him. Her relationship with God got so strong, so strong. And so that rejection turned into protection for whatever reason God knows. And thank you, Jesus, he's using her today for worship and just leading us into the presence of God. But God is our healer. Teaching your children that God is our healer. I had a story with Haley one time when she was little, and she was my only child at the time, and I didn't have insurance, didn't have the money. She was suffering so bad for an ear infection, and God says, "Well, why don't you anoint her ear with oil?" And I, you know, I anointed her before, prayed over her many times, but God told me, get the anointed oil and stick it in her ear and pray and command healing over her. And I did it because I really felt like I had no option. My baby was there crying in severe pain, couldn't do a thing, but my dependence was on my God. And so I did what he said. Haley had been crying and crying and crying. And the moment I did that and I commanded healing to take place, she goes, oh, Mommy, something just popped. And no ear infection after that. She was completely healed. I think God was just building our faith as young Christians in the Lord at that time. Because I've prayed again before and he didn't do a thing. But there's times when you're solely dependent on him and you know that you know that you know that you have no other way or means and you call on Jesus, he is faithful to hear us. I have story after story. There's many. Caleb, God healed Caleb of Lyme disease. God healed my son Joshua when his finger got cut off in a blender and God put it back together. He didn't even have to have stitches. And we prayed over it. But God is also our children's healer. And you can pray over your children. And their faith, not only your faith, but their faith is going to grow so big when they see God do these things for them. And so I've realized this week, just this past week when I was getting ready for this, I realized that I've been driving kids to school for 25 years. And I thought about it because Josh is about to get his license. Finally, my youngest is turning 16. So there's like almost a 16-year gap between him and the first, so 15 years. So for 25 years, I've been driving kids to school every day. So I have lived in every season of motherhood, but all at one time. I said, Lord, why didn't you just let me have them all at one time like my parents did, boom, 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 and we just get them all through school together, but no. And so I've lived in different seasons of motherhood all at one time. I had a teenager, a preteen, an adolescent, and a baby all at one time, and on and on and on. So I've lived through all of these different seasons. I read a book from Andy and Sandra Stanley, and they had a book about the seasons of motherhood, and they labeled it in four categories. The discipline years, that's their younger years, when you're training them as toddlers and babies. And then the training years is what they call it, which is the adolescent years. And then there's the coaching years, where it's your teenagers and you're training and coaching them on life, but you're letting loose of some things and allowing them to make some decisions. And then there's the friendship years. And then that's when they leave the nest, and the friendship years, they're adulting by then. And that's where mom and dad, yeah, you're still mom and dad, you're still parents, but you actually have a totally different relationship with your children when they're adults, because they're adult relationships with you. So it's totally different. So of course the toddler age, that's when, which I know a lot of mamas are living in that stage. You're gonna make it through, mama, let me tell you. You're gonna make it through that stage. That's when you clean the house, and the next minute you turn around and it looks like a tornado went through everything that you just cleaned. So that's that age of that the toddler age where you get frustrated sometimes. But at the same time, that's when some of the funniest things happen too, because those little babies will say the cutest, funniest things out of their mouths. So it might be challenging, but you're going to remember those sweet little moments too. And then there's the challenging years for your preteen going through puberty, finding themselves. And then there's those teen years where you, as a parent, are finding the balance between setting limits and actually letting go a little bit of giving them some independence at the same time. So this is when we may not be thinking that they're doing all the things that we think they should be doing, but we got to trust that scripture that said, train them up in the way they should go when they're old, they're not going to depart. You already sowed the seed. God will, someone else might water it, and then God will get the increase. You sowed the seed. God sometimes will use someone else to water it, and God will get the increase one day because you've sowed the seed. And so even if you see them ever stray from God, just be encouraged this morning. If you have any children that you trained in the fear of God, you've sown that seed, you've done your best, you've prayed, you've loved them, just be encouraged this morning that God is faithful to his promise and that it's just the season. And then you got to say it too. Lord, I trained them the way you told me to train them, and I know that one day they're going to come back to you. It's just the season, Lord. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. And so the adult time, the friendship stage, when your children become adults, which I have three adult children now that are married, so I've got three in the friendship stage and one in the coaching stage, according to this. And so that's a fun stage. And then you, like Pastor Bobby and I are in right now, that you become grandparents, and that's the blessing of grandchildren. The Word of God says that children are a heritage of the Lord, but that our grandchildren are a crown to us grandparents. How many grandparents do we have in here? And I really believe that God did that because He knew He needed to fill that void inside of us, that when our children, when we become empty nesters and our children are raised, God knows what He's doing. He knew that we needed grandchildren, and what a blessing that they are. And so He puts them in our lives. But everyone say generational. Generational. So our words hold power. I'm getting to a close soon. Our words hold power. I want you to remember that, Mommy. And the last thing I want to share with you is about leaving a legacy. Leaving a legacy. 2 Timothy 1, 4-5 says this, and this is Paul. Paul's writing a letter to Timothy, and Paul was his spiritual father, okay? He was Timothy's spiritual father. And in the letter that he's writing in the book of 2 Timothy, he says this. Part of it, he says, "Greatly desiring to see you, Timothy, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is also inside of you." Generational, generational. Thanks to my own mom that first sowed the seed in my heart as a little girl. She took me to church. She dragged me to church for probably about a year and a half of my life when I was, I'm guessing, 7 years old or so. That's when that first seed was planted in my heart. That's why I love children's church. I love Sunday school for kids, because that seed was planted in my heart at such a young age. And I fell in love with Jesus. And I remember even when we stopped going to church, I thought, where am I going to find Jesus? Because we stopped going. And but He never left me. He was always in my heart. So as I grew up and went on in life and got involved in all kinds of things, you know, because I didn't have that support at home, I never forget that it was my mama that was responsible for at least sowing that seed inside of my heart and introducing me to Jesus. And so my parents had six kids. They had six kids within 10 years. And my mom, I have to say, this morning, she's not with me anymore, but she was the best mom ever. And I know everyone says that, so cliche. Everyone thinks their mom's the best mom, but my mom was the best mom, just letting you know. She really was my hero. She was amazing in every way. She lived for us kids and us grandkids. And if you knew her, she loved life to the fullest, my mom, she did. She was the best mom and mammal that there was, but she was responsible for planting that seed in my heart and influencing me to come into relationship with Jesus. And so my mom had left God for many years, but how many of you know that God will never forsake us and leave us? He never left her. She walked away for many years, but He never left her. And so sometimes the roles might be changed for some of us in this place. Sometimes you might be the one that might win your mom to the Lord, and your family, your parents to the Lord. Those roles might be reversed sometimes, and God will use you. I'll never forget when we started pastoring and my mom started attending church with us. And I will never forget when she actually first got diagnosed with her stage 4 cancer, actually. And she came to us and she said, "I want to get baptized. I want to get baptized." She had been, baptized as a baby or something. She said, "I want to get baptized, and I want my grandson, Caleb, to baptize me." And my mom, she wanted a private ceremony. And so we set it up all special, and it was just us and all the kids with her. And I wish I would have sent a picture in. It's so beautiful. And my mom got baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus. She went under that water and she came up shouting hallelujah. I said, "Who is this?" That wasn't like my mom to do that. But she came out of the water and she says, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And it took her a while. She's shaking. And when everything died down, she goes, my God, I've never felt anything like that in my life. She goes, there was a fire in my bones. It shot from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head when I came out of the water. She said, I was burning all inside. And I thought, ooh, at the time I'm like, oh, the Lord healed my mom. The Lord healed my mom is what I was thinking. But you know what he did that day? The Lord healed my mom's soul. My mom was healed. Her soul, all of the hurt, all the pain, all the things she had gone through in life, her heart was healed in that moment. She became a new creation in Christ. And then if you went on her Facebook page after that, it was nothing but Jesus. It was like scripture and Jesus. And that's when she was 71 years old. Never too late. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying for your children. Don't stop praying for your family, your loved ones, especially your mama. Don't ever stop praying. And so the roles kind of changed, not only in that sense, but in the physical sense. And you'll realize that as I've gotten older, my children are so protective of me, my adult children. I mean, even my younger boy, it's like the roles start changing, right? The older we get, the roles start kind of flipping a little bit. And so I remember when my husband was so gracious to allow me to move into my mom's home the last 6 weeks of her life to help take care of her. Something I will never regret. Thank you for that. And I got to move into my mom's home, take care of her. And I remember several times my mom started trying to apologize to me. And she would say, I'm so sorry that you're having to do this. And all I could think of to say was, it is my honor. It is my honor, it is my pleasure to do this for you, Mom. You took care of me all these years. It is my honor. How many of you know that is actually a commandment of the Lord, the fifth commandment? It's the first commandment with a promise, too, on top of it. Listen to this. Ephesians 6, 2-3 says this. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. The promise is this, that it may be well with you and you may live long on earth. Wow. First commandment with promise. That's powerful. And so the morning that my mom actually passed away later that day, that morning when she woke up, she said to me, I want to be with Jesus. I'm ready to go to heaven. And I felt she had such a peace on her. And I knew, okay, Lord, it's her time. And when we got her comfortable and I was sitting by her bed and I was holding her hand, I told the Lord, because nighttime was coming, and I said, Lord, please allow me to be awake. Don't let me go to sleep, Lord, don't let me go to sleep. Let me be awake so that she knows I'm right here when she takes her last breath. And I fell asleep. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, a holy presence of God filled the room. If you know what I'm talking about. And I felt him come in the room all over my body. I had chills. And I had my eyes closed still. And I said, Pop, I said, God is in the room. Mom's about to go to heaven. And within 30 seconds, I was up, talking to her, loving on her, kissing her, and within 30 seconds, she took her last breath. And God heard my prayer. God allowed me to be there awake for her, and I'm so thankful for that. She was there for my first breath, and I was there for her last. Everything she had lived for up until that time came down to that one moment in her life as she transitioned from earth to heaven. And at that moment, I realized she didn't just teach me how to live, but more importantly, she taught me how to die. My mama. What a beautiful testament of her faith and her legacy in my life that I'm so blessed to carry on to my children. Amen. So blessed. If everyone wouldn't mind standing to your feet, I'm going to invite my family up here. And when I was praying about this service, I really felt this strong in my heart and in my spirit. And I was like, Lord, really? But he says I have to be obedient to it, so I'm going to be obedient to it. If you're in here and maybe you haven't had the best relationship with your mom, I'm so sorry for that. Maybe you've experienced some things that I may not even understand, but God sees. God sees. Maybe there's some hurt. Maybe there's some rejection. Maybe there is some trauma. Maybe there is unforgiveness, and God needs to heal your heart. Can I just pray for you if that's you here this morning, if you don't mind? Let's just bow our heads as I pray for that need right now, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, God, that you would just comfort the hearts of those, Lord, that may be just hurting in this moment, Lord. We know, Lord, that you are Jehovah Rapha, that you are our healer, Lord. And so I just pray, God, that you would give them peace this morning, Lord, that you would heal their hearts, heal their mind, Lord, and do what only you can do, Lord. I pray for restoration, not just restoration, Lord, but Father, I also pray that you would make things new for them, Lord, in that relationship, God, that you would begin a work, and every work that you begin, you will finish and complete, Lord, to the glory of your name, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. And God wants you also, I felt this in my spirit, that if you're saying, how can I even celebrate my mom today? God wants you to celebrate her for being the woman that he chose to bring your life into this world. Does that make sense? God wants to say, if you have a hard time with that relationship, God wants you to celebrate the woman that he chose to bring you into this world. Amen, if that relates to anybody. And so, my family, our children, the only thing that we can leave is a legacy of faith. We can leave things that moth and dust will destroy, the Bible says. We can leave those material things, and that's great. I hope I'm able to leave something for my kids. But more importantly, we need to leave an eternal inheritance for them so that one day, when we all go to heaven, we will hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And if your mom's there, your family's there, they're going to be there welcoming you with open arms forever with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe and share it with a friend. For more information about who we are, visit RiversideChurchTX.com.